Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
Are you ready for this? He says this. I don't even watch him anymore, but I think it was in the opening. He goes, this could be the most changing day of your life. Amen. Amen. That could be a verse because the Bible says this, that God's mercies are new every morning. Today is a day of salvation, which is a sozo word, which means everything. Even if you're saved already, it's your day of salvation for finances and relationship and everything. So honestly, yes, Bob is not here. Just what we did with worship, this could be the most changing day of your life. Like, let's go for it. Let's go for it. So that's that. So I got up this morning going, you know, this is kind of a challenging time to be getting a message together, honestly, in my life. If you know anything about me personally, it's been a challenging year for me. But God's a God of resurrection. I'm telling you, he'll do what he wants with who he wants. And all day yesterday, I'm driving here going, God, let the weak say, what's the song? Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. So I go, God, this is just a really, really good time for you to be strong in my life on Sunday morning. And I was getting up this morning, and I'm getting ready, and I'm drinking coffee and praying. And I remembered a story. It wasn't a story. It really happened. I asked Frank, it's like, how long? Wait, I got a hair right here. I told the lady, don't trim my bangs all the way because I'm growing a little bit. So here they are. Years and years ago, we had just moved in this building, so almost 20 years ago. So we moved in July, and we're not used to this new building. I mean, this was a big change from the little, what used to be, you know, from the dairy and the children's church now. So it was familiar, and we thought we'd love it. We move in this building. I'm just being honest. None of us liked it. It's like, it's too big. We're not close anymore. I mean, we were like this over there. We thought we'd love it, and we didn't. It was hard. So that was July. 3 weeks later, in August, guess what Bob does every August? He goes hunting. He leaves. He leaves the state. And I go, what do you mean? We are barely in this building. We're not even used to yet, and you're leaving? Oh, gotta go hunting. Okay. So, you know, I love taking the service. So I go, okay, I'll take the service. So I get up that morning. I've got this hot sermon, and I'm going over the notes, and I'm like, I'm really stressed. And I go, Lord, I picked a really hard topic. Usually I'm a little bit better with it. I just was stressed, and I hear this. You know, I can probably count on two hands maybe. You hear God a lot, but when you really hear God, and I hear this, don't doubt. And I mean, I tell you it was God. I went, okay, I'm not going to doubt. Packed up my notes, get in the car, drive here. I'm unlocking that back door to come in. I put my hand on the handle, and I'm going, what was I thinking picking this topic? This is so hard. I don't feel I'm prepared. I don't feel I'm there. And God goes, I said don't doubt. I got it. I mean, that was it. I went, okay, twice, I got it. I don't need a third time. He's going to slap me. I walk in, and that was it. So I get up, and you know what? It was awesome. Not because of me. I think God just went, poor thing. You know, they're in this new church, and she's really stressed. So what happened was we did the altar call, and our records went back that far, Connie. I don't even know what I talked on. I'd be like, I would grab those notes again in a heartbeat. I would have grabbed them for today, but I don't know what I even talked on. But we did the altar call, and like everybody got up and came forward in triplicate. And we had bodies, I mean, the Holy Spirit came and people were just going, whoo, 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 all over. And as soon as we cleared them out, whoo, whoo, back the other way. I'm not exaggerating. We did this for an hour. And the children's church pastor came to me the next day and went, you can never do that again. You didn't let us know. The parents were in there. And I went, I didn't know. All I know is God said, don't doubt. But you know what? I left the building, and you know the verse where David said, better is one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere? I'm going to tell you, that verse went like that at me. I went, God, I get it. I would rather be here. I've looked back to that service so many times. I thought, man, talk about an initiation for a new building. I thought that was the best time I've ever, I mean, I've had times before and times since, but that one Sunday, I don't know what it was, God. I mean, he had to just feel sorry for poor Susan. But it was the best Sunday I've ever had in church, just because God totally took over and did it. So I'm running around this morning, stressing, going, of all people to be doing this, but God goes, don't doubt. And so I made a big sign. If you come in my office, 20 years later, there's a big sign that says, don't doubt. And whenever I get a little stressy, it's like, okay, don't doubt. God is going to come through every time, no matter what you're doing. So that's us today. Now here's the other thing before we get going. I love a noisy congregation. Now, not babies. I love babies. And not cell phones. It's just, I grew up in a denominational church where, I mean, if you had a cough, go in the foyer. If you had a sneeze, don't talk, nothing. And so it's like, I want us to all stay awake, and I want to know you're awake. And so, you know, a little like, hallelujah, or preach it, Susan, if it's a good point. Thank you, Reggie. Reggie, I'm moving you like right, yeah, right down front, dude. But you know what? Stay with me on this, because I think God has a word for all of us. I put this together yesterday. I got a lot out of it. I'm going, God, this is like good. And it's probably just like you're going to go, yep, she really needed that. She really needed that. I did need it. But here I'm bringing all you with me. Are you ready? Yes. Yes. Okay, wait. Say hi to someone while I get a drink of water real quick. Okay, thank you. You guys are pretty funny. Okay, here we go. Sorry. I'm talking to these guys. You're talking. How many remember Sean Connery? Debonair, handsome guy. All the ladies wanted him. He played 007 in 6 James Bond movies. He filmed in Africa. He filmed in the Orient. The guy was all over the place. And when he got old, he just got better looking, I think. But one day, somebody asked him this question. It's like, now that you're older, how come you're not, like, retiring? You're rich, you're wealthy, you're still good looking. You could just, like, take it easy on the Riviera. And I'm telling you, his answer was, number one, very truthful and very revealing. Are you ready? Here's what he said. Because I get the opportunity to be somebody more interesting and better than I am. Now, I love that. You know what? And I think we all want that. I mean, I'm not all I should be, all I could be. I want to be better. I want to change the world. I mean, heck, I'm thinking of running for president. You know, I have to tell you, one year, Steve and Suzanne, you wrote me in, didn't you, for something. They go, yeah, it was either you or Mickey Mouse, so we wrote you in. I go, yeah, well, thanks. But you know what? I think everybody here, I mean, is there anybody here that doesn't want to be better or knows you couldn't be better? Anybody? No. So we're all out of the gate together. But here's the deal. There's no way that we can be better on our own. I'm telling you, I don't care what you had for breakfast, Wheaties, 10 cups of coffee, or a big slap on the back. You can't do it by yourself. We got to have help. And that's why the Lord said this. Oh, not the Lord. I'm not there yet. Give me that next quote. I love this quote. I found this. Not every day is going to offer us a chance to save somebody's life, but every day, say every day, offers us the opportunity to affect one. You know what? I love getting Jehovah's Witnesses at my front door. I love it. Now, according to Joe Kaczynski, where are you? There, I'm marked. They hardly stop at my front door anymore. I open it. I turn the music on. I do everything. It's like, come here. But they don't. They gather around. They go all the way up my street, all the way down. They stop. I go, they're coming. They're coming. Come on. And they go right on by and get in their cars and drive away. So apparently I have burned my bridges with Jehovah's Witnesses, but I tried. I have to say, I've never got one said. Matter of fact, they leave me before I leave them. They'll go, oh, look at the time. We have to get going. And usually when they come, they're like trying somebody out at first. And so that person right away, oh, yeah, a little kid once with all the adults, and he was like, give me a spiel. Man, I gave it right back. Good, in love. I got the verses. Right away, this lady goes like this to the kid, and she's like this. And I'm going, so, there's the lead person. Let's talk again. But you know what? They leave me before I leave them. I'm never done. It's like, well, bye. I'll come back sometime. But here's the deal. I hope I'm affecting them. Not one of them has ever said, they're going to get on their knees and give me the sinner's prayer. None of them. But I'm hoping between the newbies that they bring and everybody else, they go away thinking, my gosh, could she be right? Could Jesus be the only way? Is that verse she showed me in Revelation right? Is Jesus really the Son of God? Did he really, you know, I'm hoping I can do that. But again, if we're going to really affect our community and our neighborhoods, we have got to get it together with the Holy Spirit, because we cannot do it on our own. Now, here's what it says. This is John the Baptist said this in Matthew 3:11. He, Jesus, will baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and fire. And it says that brings the power of God down. Listen, I need the power of God. I mean, today, I'm not doing this on my own strength. It's like, God, come through for me. And this is so important that we get this Holy Spirit, that Jesus said this. Matter of fact, he goes, listen, you guys, after he resurrected, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to stay there, and don't you leave until you receive the gift. And I can see them going off going, the gift, what do you think it is? I don't know. I don't think it's money. You know how they are. They're so funny, the disciples. Hey, what are you guys talking about there, back there? Oh, nothing. Just who can sit at your right and left? I mean, they're always talking. So it's like, what do you think that gift is? I'm telling you, they didn't have a clue what the gift was. It doesn't tell us anything like they knew, but they did it. They go, okay, this must be pretty good. We're going to get a gift from the Father. So they go to Jerusalem, and they wait, and they tarry, and they start praying. And what was the gift that showed up? The Holy Spirit. And you know what? The question becomes, after the Holy Spirit's downloaded to them, it's like, why was it so important that they had the Holy Spirit come in their lives like he did? Power? That, yes. What do you think? Okay, here's the deal. When the Holy Spirit, Jesus said this, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's for this reason. You're going to be witnesses. Say witnesses. You're going to be witnesses to me where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost, to the ends of the earth, when the translation. I thought, well, heck, Hemet is about as far as the ends of the earth you can get from Jerusalem. He was talking about us. Menifee, Murrieta, Frank, and Green Acres. Can you get any further out? Homeland. Oh, my gosh. We're out there in the Tulies. So he's talking about, now here's the thing. I know for a fact that none of those disciples ever made it to Hemet. So how can that be? It's like they were witnesses of what? Come on, nobody's hit it yet. Well, here's the deal. You're all mumbling out there. Everybody. The answer to that question is the crux of the gospel. It's the crux of the New Testament. Everything hangs on the answer to what were they witnesses of. So, no, they're all right, but they're not perfect. I have the perfect answer. This is why you're here this morning. You're going to go out, and I'm so glad I found the answer to that before I leave, so don't leave. So I want you to hold that thought because I'm not going to tell you yet. Ah, Reggie, you knew I wouldn't tell you. Reggie gives me a hard time. So hold that thought. Why are we witnesses? What are they witnesses to? So give me the next verse, Teresa. 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our faith is useless. Look what two other translations says. One says, your faith is a mere delusion. If Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, your faith is worthless. Worthless. The fact is this. The claims of Jesus were so astronomical, were so out there, that if it's true, I am devoting my entire life to spreading that truth. Because what he said was, there's no other way to heaven except by him. He is the only way to God the Father. In fact, he is God incarnate. He is fully God and fully man. He's the only one that died and paid the price with his blood that he can give me the ticket. Buddha cannot save me because good Buddha didn't pay the price to be able to give me the gift. It's not his to give. The Hindu God with all the arms did not pay the price to give me the gift. Only Jesus paid the price to give me the gift. I met a guy by Alpha Beta, which tells you how long. The guy goes in his backyard and worships a tree. And I tried to tell him, I was like, listen, the tree's going to be dead in a while, but Jesus never died. People worship the weirdest things, but I owe it to everybody I come across to somehow put that gospel out. Just put a little hook out there, and if they want to talk, I'm there for them. But on the other hand, the other side of that is, if this isn't true, if this is all a lie, this is the most huge lie in the world. It's affected people. It started wars. This is why we're here this morning. If it's not true, then I'm going to spend the rest of my life telling people, don't even bother. I guess we all came from the tadpole. I don't know how the eyes and the hands and all this amazing body of ours works together, and the experiences I've had sure show a God. But if it's a lie, then we ought to be out telling people it's a big lie because we're sure putting a lot into that. But it's not. It's not. So what's my point? My point's this. There is no neutral ground on this subject. None. Because here's the thing. You are believing one or the other. If you think it's the truth, then we all need to be out there all week long telling everybody who will listen. And again, don't be obnoxious. Joe, I'm never rude to JWs. I give them coffee if they tell me they're coming ahead of time. I'm really nice to them. But I just put a little hook out there. If they want to talk, I'll bring them in. We owe it to people to do that. That's the thing. But on the other hand, this is why there's no neutral position. If it's not the truth, then we ought to be out telling people that. Personally, it is absolutely 100% the truth. And I'm taking, my thing is this. I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to take as many people with me as I can. So, Here's the thing. Back to our question. The question, what are we witnesses of? And the what? Oh, my gosh. Reggie, you got it right. But don't tell anybody else. Don't tell me. He's doing the dance. Here's the thing. Dang, dude. You spoiled my whole sermon. So, here's half the answer. Gee, we're going to talk later. Shut. The disciples witnessed a resurrection. And are you ready for this? Here's the second half of it. Give me the overhead. We have witnessed a resurrection. We have witnessed a resurrection. Now, some of you may be thinking, do I look that old? Like 2,000 years? Did I see that happen? No, but I'm going to show you a verse that's going to blow you away. Are you ready? So turn to someone else and go, she's going to blow you away this morning. You ready? All right, here we go. Give me the first half of that, Sharissa. Okay, and you. Okay, say you is a me. I'm a you. You're you. Say I'm a you. Come with me here. Okay. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Listen, here's the cool. This is like one of the coolest verses in the whole Bible. In order to be made alive, you had to be dead. In order to be born again, you have to have been dead to be born again. So here's what happens, real quick. So here's Adam and Eve over here, and God goes, listen, guys, you're in this amazing garden, you can talk to the animals, I think they could fly around, they could talk to everybody, and he goes, just don't eat of that tree over there. Now, I think the tree was a Brussels sprouts tree, because I hate Brussels sprouts. It had to be those gooey things. So don't eat those Brussels sprouts on them. No, it wouldn't have been a problem with me, but apparently they liked Brussels sprouts. And so what did they do? Ooh, let's go look at the tree. And so they ate. And as soon as they did, something died. What was it? Their spirit. Here's how it works. I am a spirit who has a soul, and I live in a body. The body is not me. It's only how I try to look cute. Someone told me I look cute, and I said, hey, it's the bling and the makeup. Thank God the girls get that. Not the boys. You guys have to wait for heaven for that. But as soon as they sinned, that spirit, it died. It died. And that's why when you receive the Lord and you are born again, that spirit is born again. That's why you have to have Jesus Christ in your life. So here it is again. You, he made alive who were dead. We were all born dead because we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. You were born dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Okay, next one. Now, here, where's Suzanne? Where's my daughter? The big butts. She dared me to say that. I love big butts. Here's a big butt. It's the God thing. You didn't think I'd say it, did you, Suzanne? No. You owe me. But God, say that with me. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love. For God so loved the world, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. So, whose resurrection have you witnessed? Ours. If nobody else's, you have been resurrected. Oh my gosh, that should be so exciting. And you know what? I have witnessed other people's resurrections. And other than that, I mean, it's just an amazing thing to see people get born again and resurrected. So it's like you are witnesses of a resurrection. That's what Jesus said. You've got to have that spirit in you so you can go be witnesses of a resurrection. And the whole gospel hinges on that. If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, if he was not resurrected, we are pathetic. We have no hope. That is, Buddha was not resurrected. Krishna was not resurrected. Nobody else came back from the dead as fully man so he could be our substitute and sinless fully man. It is amazing. So the first point of that verse is this. You know the song we sing? The resurrecting life is resurrecting me. I mean, I think we sing some of these songs and go, oh, what a nice melody. No, the resurrecting life has resurrected us. Like, we need to grab hold of this stuff and go, oh, my gosh, it's still resurrecting us. I am a resurrected person. I'm a witness of a resurrection. Pretty cool. Say, that's huge. Thank you. It is huge. So here's the thing. It's huge. And that's what the disciples witnessed. One day, he's hanging on a cross, bleeding. They stab him in the side. I mean, the guy is dead. Say, dead. Dead. And 3 days later, he's alive. And he's all over town. Thomas, look through my hand. I can see you. I mean, he was dead and now he's alive. Sorry. They witnessed a resurrection. So he goes, you're going to be witnesses all everywhere of the resurrection. And you know what? One year, wait, say hi to somebody. I got to get a drink of water. Okay, so here's what happened. Sorry. I take this medication that totally takes all my spit. It's terrible. So I talked to this guy, and he told me this amazing story. And he said, when I was a kid, I grew up in this small town. And one year for Easter, our pastor couldn't make the Easter service. And so we got a visiting pastor. So the visiting pastor said, listen, I just want one thing. He goes, I want to make it an outside Easter sunrise service. And the guy goes, yeah, no problem. Make it outside. And he said, okay, but I want to make it in the cemetery. So it's like, oh, okay. So he said, you know, I'll show you kind of where I want him to be, and I'll be there, and I'll be your guest pastor. So this guy goes, yeah, so I was a kid. So our whole family's that we show up, and it's dark, it's cold, and oh, my gosh, we're in the cemetery. We're not at the Ramona Bowl where it's pretty. So we're all gathered, and we're freezing. And, you know, before the sun comes up, it starts kind of getting light, but it's still dark. And their visiting pastor hadn't showed up. It's like, well, where in the heck is this guy? It's like, this is a big joke or what? So they're waiting, and there's a ton of people there, and they're all looking around, like, where's the guest? We don't see any cars coming. And all of a sudden, you know when the sun comes up, and it's coming, and then all of a sudden, there it is. It's up, and everything's bright. So they're standing there, well, here's the sun. Where's the guy? Well, this visiting pastor had hidden beneath a big old tombstone. And so right as the sun comes up, he does this. He's alive! He's alive! Oh, my gosh! He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! He scared the bejiggers out of all of them. They were scared to death. And this kid said, well, he's grown up. He goes, I'm like grabbing my mom's leg. This pastor's crazy. And he's running all over the cemetery saying, he's alive! He's alive! But you know what? He said, I never forgot that. I never forgot what a big deal it was for Jesus Christ to raise from the dead. We think it's no big deal. We've heard this for years. For 2020 years, this has been going on. But listen, it was a big deal. The Son of God, Jesus, they saw him die, and then he was alive. No wonder Peter was screaming his little head off all over. We ought to be doing that. And I'm alive. I'm a witness to a resurrection. If you're alive, you're a witness to a resurrection. Hallelujah. Okay, so number two point on that is this. When we receive Jesus, we become the witnesses of our own resurrection. I think that is just the darn coolest thing. And, you know, a lot of you heard my testimony before. I'm not going to give it because you'll be here forever. I hardly ever give it, but give me a breath. I'm out of shape, huh? I got to get on the treadmill. So I'm about 20 years old. I'm being a good kid. I'm going to college. I'm sitting with my parents, the denominational church, and it was wonderful. Learned a lot of the word. But I sat there one day and I kind of went, you know, I've learned all this Bible stuff and demonic activity and people being healed and saved, and they don't even do altar calls. I didn't even know what one was, but I thought, I'm just not feeling it here. I thought, I wonder if, like, there's really a God. I think everybody kind of has to get to that point. And I thought, well, I think there is, but if they're not, I was dating this really cool boy who was like a lifeguard, always wanted to go to the beach because he wasn't saved. And I thought, I'm gonna go visit churches, and I'm going to go find God. And if I don't find God, I'm going to the beach. That's just it. So I didn't tell that to my parents, of course. And you don't ask for the family car when you're leaving the family church. But I had a motorcycle. Bob makes fun of it, but my little Honda 90, I cooked on that thing. I actually had a guy stop me once. You think I was speeding now. You should have seen me, Frank. This guy stops. He goes, man, I used to have one of those, and it never went like that. And whoosh, off I went, you know. So that was at a stop sign. I took off. So I got on my little motorcycle, and I started visiting churches. Well, I worked as student worker at Disneyland, and right across in the employee entrance was a big marquee that said Meldyland Christian Center. So I thought, well, I'll make sure that's one of the churches. I don't think about it. I never had been out of a denominational church. So I zoom across the parking lot. That's when Bob saw me. And I go in. The minute, the second, the millisecond I walked in those doors, I get hit with the presence of God. And I go, oh, my gosh, I knew it. I knew he was alive. I feel God. I feel like we did this morning. I feel God. You can feel him. And so, of course, I went back the next Sunday and the next. So about the third or fourth Sunday, I noticed they do altar calls. People come down front. I thought, well, that's kind of cool. But I thought, it's to be saved. And I'm saved, but there's something not right. I can't quite match up what's going on here. I couldn't figure it out. And so they all came forward, this mass of people, and they took him back in this little room. So I kind of went back, and I sat at the back of the room, and they had them all down front, and they're talking about accepting the Lord. And I thought, well, that's not it. I don't know what it is, and that's not me. Well, this old lady, I mean old lady, comes and sits down. She goes, hi, honey. You know, one of those. She's real sweet. Like, why aren't you down front? And I said, well, I believe in Jesus, and he died on the cross. And I said this. I looked at her, and I said, I'll never forget. But I said, you know something I don't know, because you're all so happy. She laughed. She goes, oh, that's the Holy Ghost, honey. And I'm like, okay, I was clueless. I mean, we did it in the doxology. I heard about it. But, you know, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost that Sunday. And honestly, I got to tell you, I didn't know what to expect. It was like those poor disciples waiting for the gift. But she goes, you want it? And show I, well, yeah, if it's in the Bible. So, you know, we lived down kind of by Newport Beach. We went down there all the time. And, you know, when you go way out to the beach and those big breakers come and you go up like that right before it breaks and you get dropped down the other side, it's pretty cool. Am I the only one that's done that? Okay. It felt like that. I mean, we're praying, and all of a sudden, my stomach went whoop like that. And I looked up at her like, I looked, and she goes, that's the Holy Ghost, honey. And I went, okay. And you know what? It changed my life. It changed my life. I was a different person. My parents just think I grew up, but I didn't just grow up. I just got excited about it. All of a sudden, I loved Jesus. I couldn't stop talking about him. I sang everywhere I went. I was a happy person. I mean, it was, put the next overhead up. It was huge. Say, this is huge. That's a big deal. Huge. That's a big deal to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So here's the thing. Since Jesus is alive, he's the victor over the grave and death and principalities and powers. And as our substitute, he's come back and said, guess what? All authority is now mine again. I bought it back. You guys gave it away with Adam. I'm giving it back to you. All authority is yours. That's what we get. So here's the thing, and that's huge. When we celebrate communion, which we're going to take in a minute, he took our place in death, conquered it, and handed us the victory. So I think what happens is too often we don't understand exactly what we're doing when we take communion. I don't think so. And so I honestly believe that God wants to bring back the power of communion. It's not just a ritual or some tradition we're doing. There's meaning. And there's a big why of power when we take this. So we're going to talk about it just real quick before we take it. So if you're signed up to do that, kind of get ready. But, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, who's died, got on to be with the Lord, he took communion every single day at home. You don't have to come here to do it. The Bible says as often as you do it, just remember him. Remember all this. He raised, what, 22, 23 people from the dead? The guy was amazing. One lady he had up against the wall like that. And she wasn't coming back. So finally, he said, in Jesus' name, whatever. But, and he takes his hand and walks away. She comes back to life. I mean, says he's the father of faith, and he always used to say, faith is action. But we're going to run through this real quick. So when we take communion this morning, I'm telling you more than any other time, I want us to get it. Are you ready? Okay. Say hi to somebody. Okay. Give me that next verse, Sharisa. Here it is. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, say unworthy manner, drinks judgment to himself, but not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So here's what I think about that verse. That verse has been used so wrong for so many, many millennia. Jesus welcomes everybody to the Lord's table. I even think if you're unsaved, he would welcome you to that table. That is not what that verse is talking about. And the key to that thing is this, where it says, not discerning the Lord's body. It doesn't say not discerning the blood. It says the body, which is the bread. Now, if you were like me, you were raised in a church where we never had this explained. We would show up for communion, and they would go, here's the bread, here's the wine, do this, take it, remember. And I thought, well, it's all about the resurrection. But it's not. And the reason is, because there's two elements to communion, and they mean two entirely different things. So number one, part one is this. The wine represents the blood, which is for forgiveness of sins. And the bread represents the body for our healing. That's where we're not discerning it correctly. Some people just take the bread like it's the wine, but the bread is for the healing. That's why there's many sick among them. They're not appropriating the bread in the proper manner. They're not going, Jesus, thank you, number one, that you saved me, but number two, that this bread is for my healing and for my health. So when I'm going to take it and break it in remembrance of you in that regard, it's for that. So that's what we're going to do this morning. The blood's for forgiveness. Most people have no problem understanding the power and the life of the flesh is in the blood. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 1:7 says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The blood is so powerful. And you know, I want to just take a one minute trip on this to tell you how powerful it is. One year we were up at Oak Glen for a women's conference. And there was a girl up there who needed deliverance. Now she didn't have a demon that possessed her. You know, a Christian cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. And honestly, Robert Morris has the best example of that. He says, it's almost like you're at home, and it's your house. Whether you rent it or buy it, it's your house. But somebody has come in the front door, and they're in your house, and you don't want them there. They're being bad. And you go, out you go, and they're going, no. That's what it's like to have a spirit. If a Christian can have a cold, a Christian can have a spirit in their home. It's like, I want you out. They don't own the home. You pay rent, you've got the pink slip on it, whatever you have, the deed to the house, but they're in your house. So that's how this girl was. So we're finishing up this last meeting. She has a rock about this big. I don't know if you guys remember this. And she's talking, and she's throwing it way up in the air, and like this. And she was, I can't exactly remember what she was doing, but you could tell. There's like, there's something wrong here. I think she has a spirit. And I'm thinking like, oh, God, don't let her throw that rock at anybody. I don't know how she caught it. Way up and over like this. And she was a little thing. So I had somebody else take over the meeting, grabbed a couple gals, and I said, do you want to be set free of this thing? She goes, yes. So I take her to another building, and I said, okay. And by then, she's fine. So I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, we're not in the line where you usually kind of do stuff like that. I go, well, let's just do like an affirmation of faith. I said, say this after me. So I said, I believe in Jesus. And she repeated everything after me. He rose from the dead. He died on the cross. Nothing's happening. She's just telling it all. Okay, and I believe in God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And so finally I go, and I believe in the blood of Jesus that set me free. She goes, I believe in the blood, like that. She could not say the word blood. She went ballistic. I mean, 1 minute, she's fine, and the next is spirit took over. It could not say the word blood. So, I mean, long story short, trust me, it's a long story. I'm not Jesus. We did not get her set free in 5 minutes, hour later. But that girl got set free. It was amazing. But what was more amazing, to see her set free in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. That was it. So when we take the wine, we've been forgiven. Now real quick, here we go. Bread's for healing. And when Jesus took the bread and he broke it and blessed it and said this, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. They knew, the disciples, exactly what he meant. They had been with him for 3 years. He never had the flu, never had a headache, was never throwing up at campfire, never. And so they never sat there, and he goes, oh, Peter, can you take the Sermon on the Mount tomorrow? I'm really sick. It just never happened. And so they knew that blood was for their healing. And so when we take that bread today, listen, if you need a touch for your health, you break that and go, Jesus, I'm so glad your body was broken, that mine can be healthy and whole. And when we drink, it's because the wine represents that. So, Sharissa, give me that. Oh, and here's, I want to share this too. Luke, the whole multitude sought to touch him for power, say power, went out from them and healed them all. Listen, we think the lady with the issue with blood is the only one that touched him. But where do you think she got that idea? People constantly came, multitudes. And they knew, all I have to do is touch him, and I'm whole. One lady did it, and she's like famous forever. But I'm telling you, multitudes came out and touched him and were made whole. That's how they knew it. So here's one thing. As we partake of the bread, the body was broken so ours can be made whole. And as we partake of the juice, we have redemption from sin through his blood. So if the people who are serving would come forward, I want to share one last verse out of Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Now look at this, too. Who forgives all our iniquities, the blood, and who heals all our diseases, the bread. It's everywhere in the Bible when we go looking for it. The bread and the wine, the bread and the wine. It's amazing. So what we're going to do is we're just going to have you come down, and if you would take, and if you have trouble getting the little bread off the top of it, someone will help you, but they're going to play video. Come on down and grab communion.
His love is like lightning, cracking through the sky, burning through the rage, burning through the pain of a billion scars. Get ready, get ready. Get ready, get ready. All the stories are true. His ghost is inside me. Holy fire burning wild, burning through the things that need to be erased to liberate.
So, Father, we are so excited to celebrate. I've always thought communion should be such a celebration. I don't want us doing anything draggy, because I'm telling you, Jesus came flying out of that tomb. You couldn't stop anybody from shouting. And you can't stop me from shouting about me being resurrected or you being resurrected. It's thrilling. There is no better life than being a believer, I'm telling you. We can be as crazy as those football guys. I know we can. So hold your bread up. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you this morning for your broken body. It's for my healing. And I thank you that by your stripes, we have been healed. I have been healed. We receive, and Lord, we celebrate the healing and the wholeness that you died to give us in Jesus' name. So take, break it and take it. Thank you, Jesus. Healing in Jesus' name. Father, healing in Jesus' name. 2,000 years later, Father, we just take that. And then he reached over and he took that cup, and you study it. He took a cup that nobody ever took. They were waiting for the Messiah. He reaches over and takes the cup. Not any cup, it was the cup. And I'm sure they went, oh, what is he doing? And they got it. So take the cup and just hold it up. Father, we thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant of your blood. There's just nothing like it. Your blood has brought me forgiveness, washed me from every sin, redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so, Father, we celebrate your work on the cross, everything you're doing in us, Father, to make us witnesses of a resurrection. And Father, we do this in Jesus' powerful, mighty, wonderful name. Amen. Drink. Jesus. Oh, what an amazing God you are, Jesus. Thank you so much. Wow. I told somebody today, I was I was watching this show called Aerial America, and we're watching, they were going over Utah and Zion and these amazing canyons. And I told them, I said, can you imagine when we get to heaven? It is going to be, I mean, think of the best place, the best times. What is it they say? If you're a Christ follower, this is as bad as it's ever going to be. And if you're not, this is the best it's ever going to be. Heaven is going to be amazing, all because of Jesus. So here's what we're going to do. If you want prayer this morning, please do not leave here without it. If I could have the altar workers come down right now, you know, you can get in your car, you can run home, have lunch, you can go out, but you know, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer. Oh my gosh, I'm telling you, I'd be dead if it weren't for people praying for me. Of righteous men and women availeth much. If you need a financial breakthrough, you need prayer in your marriage or relationship, you have a sore toe, I don't care. But if you're going to get in your car and go home, you're going to miss it. These people would love to pray for you. They're anointed to pray for you. This is a great service. This is an anointed service. Don't just leave. Amen. So stand up. Let's pray. And you can come down while we do that. Have a great week. Be blessed for Thanksgiving. You guys are just awesome. Father, we